Blog Talk Radio.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Garage Talk Live. I'm Vinny B, your host. And we had a busy weekend, actually mainly NASCAR in action, because they ran all three series out in Vegas. NHRA off this week. They'll be in Vegas this coming weekend where NASCAR heads back my way to the south side of Virginia, Martinsville, traditionally known as the Paperclip. So as the playoffs keep winding down, you got to figure Xfinity and Cup, two to go. NHRA, two to go. So we'll see. The only one I think has got it pretty much in the bag in the NHRA. As a matter of fact, let's take a look-see. I know we did the points thing and all that after the race, but, you know, they get Vegas Nationals, October 27th. Check your local listings for TV because the way they got it set up on their website is a little bit hard to read, so for TV schedule. So check your local TV schedule. Probably Fox Sports 1 for the finals on Sunday. All right, let's take a look at the standings. Justin Ashley has an 82-point lead over Brittany Force and an 84-point lead over Antron Brown and a 96-point lead over Steve Torrence. They're your top four. They're the closest who have any kind of shot at it. Justin Ashley, who's been on this show earlier in the season, is looking to make the hang on for his first ever Top Fuel championship. So we wish him luck. Brittany Force has got her first. She's looking for number two. Antron Brown has a couple. Steve Torrence has a few as well. So, but they're your top four in the fuel class. And it's always nice to see a first-timer win one. I mean, yeah, I'd like to see Brittany Force win a second one because she used to be on the show, her and her sisters and her dad and Robert Height. So it's just, but you like to see a first-timer win, especially when they were a guest on the show. So good luck, Justin. Hope you can pull it off. I want to see if I can schedule you back on to brag about it. I don't blame you. I would, too, especially number one. All right, on to the funny car. Ronnie Capps, 10 points out. Matt Hagan in third, 78 out. Robert Height leads that. That's not over yet. Either one of those three can get it. Matt Hagan looking to win his first championship for his new team. He's already got one in the books. So he's looking to do Tony Stewart proud and become the first one to win a championship being on a new team. Ronnie Capps, I guess he's on his own team or a new team too, because both of them used to be part of Don Schumacher Racing, and I guess the only one part of that would be Tony Schumacher in the Top Fuel Series. Because Schumacher Racing had a lot of cars, both in Nitro divisions. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. And then, of course, Robert Height driving for John Force. He's looking for championship number two as well. Will he get it right now out of the Top Fuel? Out of the Nitro division, he's got the toughest run. Let's take a look at Pro Stock. Last week's winner in first place. Second place, Aaron Stanfield, is 165 back. Erica Enders has been on fire this season, and I think even if she didn't start the last two races, she's got it. It's locked. But I don't think nobody's going to catch her. Third place is Greg Anderson, who's got a bunch of pro stock championships. The one who was who lost to Erica for her first ever pro stock win. He's 195 back. So Erica's bitch slap in the field. As their motto goes when she wins, drive that bitch back. With her and her sister Courtney. So I love them. I love her. She hasn't been on in a while. She used to come on all the time, but hey, I don't blame her. But good for her winning championship number five. That I think she's already, as far as NHRA championships go, the woman with the most championships out of all the divisions. And I think Angel Sampe had three. So Erica beat her. I think Shirley Muldowney had three. And there's no one in Funny Car that has one yet. The Force Girls had a shot at it. Courtney, I think, came in second 1 year. And then Ashley, prior to that year that Robert Height won, I think she came in second before. And they both stepped out of the car to have babies. So that being said, that puts Erica at the winningest champion for a woman in all four, top four Camping World divisions. Used to be Mellow Yellow, then it swapped out once the Pam Dennett kicked and Camping World took over. On the Pro Stock bike, Matt Smith has a 51-point lead over Joey Gladstone and a 103-point lead over Jerry Savoie. Steve Johnson is 118 back, and Angie Smith, Matt's wife, is 119 back. I think it's only going to be between Matt Smith and Joey Gladstone, so we'll see who closes the gap or who extends the gap this coming weekend. Next week, I'll just let you know right now, I probably won't be on the air Tuesday. If I may come back for Wednesday, I don't know. But I got to go. I go to the doctors. So just letting you all know that I may or may not be on the air. Definitely not Tuesday. All righty. That's it for her. Our NHRA update, so good luck in Vegas. All righty, in the truck series, we have, did I mention in the NHRA, Tony Stewart is finally going to do it. He's going to hop into a dragster. He's going to run a top alcohol dragster. I wonder if, I'd like to interview him on that one. I've been in a dragster, going from oval track to at road, basically, IRL originally was oval track. And then going from IndyCar to NASCAR to NHRA. Going from driving 500 and 600 miles, driving quarter miles. I was wondering how long it would take before he does it, so I think he's going to be itching to do that. Probably, I think it's, did I see this weekend? Hey, he's a driver champion in IRL. He's an owner driver champion in NASCAR, so what the hey. Might as well wear the hat for all three. He is one of the top drivers, all-around drivers in any division, so even with his cranky temperament sometimes. Anyway, Truck Series playoffs 1 through 7, Matt Crafton and Parker Kligerman and Matt Crafton in 8th. Parker Kligerman in 9th, Chandler Smith in 10th playoffs. But I don't get how the Truck Series playoffs should be down to about 8 working down to 4 or so. We'll see when we hit the standings after I give you the update. So it's Ty Majeski taking the win. And where was I? I heard a beep on my phone because I'm tapped into the phone. Ty Majeski taking the win. Zane Smith second. Stuart Friesen third. Ryan Preece fourth. Corey Heim fifth. Ben Rhodes sixth. Christian Eckes seventh. 8th, Matt Crafton. 9th, Parker Kligerman. And rounding out your top 10 is Chandler Smith. Your stage winners were Ben Rhodes taking stage 1 and Zane Smith taking stage 2. The biggest lap leader was your winner, led twice for 67. Zane had 2 for 26 laps, and Ben Rhodes 2 for 37. So all 3 Truck Series regulars. I don't think anybody's allowed to be in the other series other than as far as if you're running in, I was going to say Nationwide. It has been Nationwide. Xfinity or Cup. Then you can't run in playoffs during the other series and vice versa. All righty. Time of race. 0. Average speed, 0. Okay, that's confusing. Next race, Phoenix. So this is it. Phoenix is the wrap-up. So they are down. They have finished it off, and the final 4 is there. So I'm figuring the 4 top finishers of this one will be your 4 championship contenders. Must have ended under caution. It's not saying that. Caution flags. No? Oh, good old NASCAR. This is NASCAR media pages official stats or unofficial stats. Either way, these should be official at this point. I don't have a speed, and I don't have a margin of victory. And it doesn't say it ended under caution or a time of race, but I don't make this stuff. Okay. This is Majeski's second Camping World Truck Series victory. And come next year, it won't be Camping World Truck Series. It will be Craftsman Truck Series. Back to the original. So that'll be pretty interesting. Let's check the standings. See, will it open up? Up here we go. Error while opening. Let's refresh the page. Go back. Oh, NASCAR, what are you doing to me? Receded driver's points. Let's try that one. Error while opening document. Here we go. All right, let's go to some audio. Let's catch up with our winner. Adasa, singer, songwriter, national anthem performer. Darryl Gwynn. We had a press conference. Where are we at there? Juarez, Blaney, Majeski.
Joined by our NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race winner here at Homestead Miami Speedway, Ty Majeski, driver of the number 66 Thor Sport Racing Toyota. Go right into questions for Ty. Start with Steve.
Seacoast Motor Racing Network. Ty, you had actually told us in a pre-race about super late model race, and I think somewhere during the conversation on the radio, I actually heard someone talk about Pensacola. How did the track compare? Was it what you hoped for? Obviously, the performance was good, but how did the track, the old worn-out factor, compare to what you might be used to?
Yeah, it's incredibly low grip. My spotter, Brandon Lyons, we go way back. He used to spot for Harrison Burton back in probably like 2014-ish to like 2017 or 18. And we had a lot of battles over the course of our careers. We spent a lot of time racing at Pensacola, of course, for the Snowball Derby. And he kept telling me, just like Pensacola, smooth and straight, this place, a lot like Pensacola, is just, no grip, very coarse. We're down here close to the beach. There's sand in the air. It weathers away, all the pieces of asphalt and the rocks are, the stones are left, and it wears the tires. So you've got to be mindful of that. If you push too hard in the beginning, you're going to pay the price late in a run, and that's the mentality you have to have while racing a super at Pensacola, and a lot of that correlates here in these trucks. So thankfully the truck was good enough. I didn't have to manage too much. I tried to do a little bit there. I know the first, five laps are very important. And I gave up a little bit after the first stage, dropped back. I think I restarted fourth or fifth and just kind of settled in line there. And those guys were racing pretty hard. And then five laps later, it was going to the front. So, just pretty cool to, have that relationship with Brandon, our history. And we used to, like I said, we used to feud. We used to get into it with each other and stuff. So it's kind of cool to come full circle. He's fine for me. He does a great job.
All right, next we'll go to Dalton Hopkins here in the center.
Hi, Dalton Hopkins from FrontStretch.com, and I got a follow-up after this. Were you aware of how close it was between Ben Rhodes, your teammate, and Stuart Friesen for the cutoff point? And did you know were you being told that at all, or were you just focused up at the front?
No, I had no idea what the point situation was. I knew it had to be close. I knew the 99 had a good first stage. The 52 had a good second stage. So I knew it was close. I wasn't quite aware of, what the points position were. Leading the race, that's our focus, is just trying to stay ahead of the 38, giving me gaps out back to try and maintain that gap without abusing the tires in case of a late race caution.
And also Ben said after the race that he should be borrowing notes from you for Phoenix. So he feels like that you're more of a favorite for that race. Do you feel the same way?
It's a new race, right? I feel like we certainly have momentum on our side, winning two of the last three here on different types of racetracks, short track at Bristol, and then, a low grip mile and a half like Homestead, two very different racetracks. I feel like, just generally speaking, Joe and I have been clicking really well the back half of this season. We had good finishes early on in the year, but we've been able to consistently put whole races together throughout this back half of the year. So, I can't really say who the favorite is and who isn't, but regardless, I really like my chances of going to Phoenix.
I'm over here to Jerry Jordan.
Jerry Jordan, KingfisherHarvest.net. You're out there, you're leading. You've got Zane behind you. He wanted to win, obviously. For you, what's it like to be the spoiler in this race that set things up for Phoenix?
Yeah, I think, I guess the spoiler from the standpoint, none of the cutoff guys won, right? But I feel like, we've been, one of the four strongest trucks throughout the back half of this season. Like I said, I feel really good about where our team's at. We put a full-fledged effort in for this race, but our focus has really been on Phoenix since we won Bristol. So to come all year with a strong effort like this, we came pretty aggressive from a package perspective, hoping to learn for next year on these types of racetracks. And I feel pretty good about where our package is at, and I just need to fine tune a little bit more and keep building on it.
We'll go back to MRN for a follow-up.
Dave Moody from MRN and SiriusXM. Can you speak, is there a tangible value to, by the time you go to Phoenix, being undefeated in the Truck Series for a month? Is there a tangible edge to that, or is it just feel good?
I don't know. It obviously feels good, right? There's a we didn't have a great Talladega whatsoever. You know, we're, you know, in a position leading early on in the race, and I felt like guys were just too aggressive and fell to the back on purpose and then never really could go anywhere. I think the package that the engine package and the restrictor plate, it's hard to form runs at Talladega now. And so we want to get our momentum back going into Phoenix. I feel like, you know, like I said before, you know, our team has been really strong the back half of this season, and we really wanted to come here with a good run, you know, build to Phoenix and carry that momentum. And, you know, didn't know we were going to win today. I thought we were decent in practice. But that first run we fired off and just, you know, hauling through the field, I knew we had a good chance at if we could get out front.
Any additional questions for Ty? Okay, come up, Bob.
I'm Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. I have a couple. The first, do you wish the championship race was tomorrow?
I don't know. I want more time to massage on our Phoenix truck. You know, like I said, we've been working on it, you know, since Bristol. Obviously, the momentum is great, but we want some time to massage on it. We feel like we've had an advantage knowing that, you know, we're going to Phoenix for about a month now. So we've been massaging on that truck. Like I said, we put, obviously a full effort into this one, but I've been to the simulator, you know, three times this year before the back half of this season, just for the three road courses. I've already been there three times just for Phoenix. So I haven't personally done any simulator at Homestead. So our focus has been on Phoenix. And like I said, I feel good about our chances.
There you have Ty Majeski. Okay. I was able to bring up the playoff lineup. I was right. Ty Majeski, Zane Smith, Ben Rhodes, and Chandler Smith are your four finalists. Going into Phoenix. So we'll just have to see who is the one that takes home the crown. All righty, let's get to Xfinity. Okay, my interwebs is grinding slow. Well, while we're figuring that out, let's check out with Farrell Gwynn. I had to say in his little press conference. Little, it's a big one. Wait a second, are we up and running? Now we're back to the the page where all the stats are. Now let's check what Darrell Gwynn had to say on Sunday.
Privilege to the gentleman to my left has been such a major inspiration for so many people, not only in sports but in life. Believe it or not, to show you my age, I actually interviewed this guy in 1988 whenever he was at the top of his drag racing career at Darlington Dragway in an NHRA event, and he was as kind and cool as anyone ever has been that I've interviewed in motorsports. So Darrell Gwynn from Fort Lauderdale. Again, Darrell has done a lot of good things outside of motorsports with the Darrell Gwynn Quality of Life chapter of the Darrell Gwynn Foundation, the Bonacotti Fund to cure paralysis. And so much work has been done over the years. And each year, Darrell heads up a way to award different things to folks that need different things here in life. And Darrell, I'm just going to turn the microphone over to you to tell you exactly what we're doing here today.
I appreciate that. And thanks for allowing us to use your platform to showcase what we do at the Darrell Gwynn chapter of the Bonacani Fund at the Miami Project and what NASCAR has done. Normally we have a fishing tournament that we raise money to do stuff like this, but we didn't have one this year because, of course, the dates changed. It's not the chase race. We also do one in Daytona. But the reason why we're here today is, you know, we just donated this chair to this needy individual, Nishan. He was shot a year ago, and my phone started ringing from all my doctors and all the people at the University of Miami about we need to get this guy a chair. And, you know, when I had the Daryl Gwynn Foundation before I merged with the Miami Project, we gave away approximately 300 and I don't have exact numbers because we started keeping track later than we should have, but we donated about 350 power chairs in my when I had my foundation. And their average cost of them are about $25,000 a piece. Since I've merged, we're up in the 400, 500 range. And, of course, it takes a lot of money to do that. But most importantly, it changes the life of somebody that's been injured with a spinal cord injury. Nobody's immune to spinal cord injuries. Obviously, he got shot. Obviously, car accidents, diving accidents. You name it. No, you can slip in the shower and have a spinal cord injury. My point is nobody's immune to it, and you just never know. And just like you don't have to be driving a top-fuel dragster to get a spinal cord injury like what happened to me in 1990. But it puts smiles on our face. Like what I used to always say when we'd do this at the drag races was when I had my own racing team and we were doing this, I said, well, we start out the day and we feel like we won the race already, and the race hasn't even started by donating a $25,000 chair to a needy individual and changing their life. And, you know, I don't know how to say this, but like when I got injured 30 years ago, I could hardly spell the word paralysis, you know, and now it's a common word in my life. And unfortunately, it's going to be a common word in his life for the rest of his life. And, you know, we just try and do what we can to help improve the quality of life. And we like giving away at NASCAR races because, of course, they got wheels on them and they're a little racy, and Rubbin's racing. And I always tell the little kids that we do this for, you know, I said, I want to see pictures of their hallways, you know, after a month after they get the chair, because mom says the hallways are all marked up. He's learning how to use the chair, you know. But obviously, I've got a little experience. I've been in the chair for 32 years now. But Nishan, I don't know if you've bounced off of too many walls lately, but your chair looks brand new. And we're very proud to do this for you today and change your quality of life for the future. And like I said, my phone started ringing when this happened, and all the doctors said, we need to take care of this young man and his family. And the Daryl Gwynn chapter stepped right up and did that, and we're proud to do it and showcase him here at Homestead Miami Speedway.
Sean, how does it feel?
There you have Daryl Gwynn giving a chair to a person that needed it. That's always nice, charitable organizations. I forgot about it, the Daryl Gwynn Foundation, and yes, Daryl became paralyzed after a wreck. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. In a racing event, and he ran top fuel, so you know that thing's a missile going 300 miles an hour. So it wasn't pretty. All right, let's take a look. Our Xfinity Series. Here's a guy probably going to wind up taking this championship home. We have two events to go, so if he didn't lock in, he's locked in now. So the guy taking the checkered flag actually pretty much dominated the whole event. Out of the 200 laps, he led 127 of them, winning both stages as well as taking the checkered flag. Driver of the number 9 for Junior Motorsports. That's Dale Junior Motorsports. Noah Gregson. First name swap here. Sorry, Noah. Noah Gregson takes the first place thing. Ty Gibbs, that's where the tie come from, took second. A.J. Allmendinger third, Daniel Hemric fourth, Sam Mayer fifth, Trevor Bayne sixth, seventh, Chandler Smith, Riley Herbst eighth, ninth is Austin Hill, and tenth Justin Allgaier. William, I'm having a tough time with pronunciation today. Allgaier, the little gator. Let's see. Again, no average speed time of race. Okay. Cautions. 4 for 24 laps. And 13 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. All righty. Let's see if we can go back and get the standings. Of course, are they reseeded? Yeah, I think they all are now. No, they're not, because they're still in the middle of a championship process. So. Yes, we have them. All right, Noah Gragson leads the points. Ty Gibbs second. Third is A.J. Allmendinger. I think Noah and Allmendinger are locked in for the finals. So Justin Allgaier is fourth. Austin Hill is fifth. Josh Berry sixth. Seventh is Sam Mayer, and Brandon Jones are your top eight. They're the ones that have a shot at running next week. One will win or may win. You never know. You can always have an outlier. It's been happening in the Cup Series this year. And either way, it'll come down to the final four after Martinsville this weekend. I think they're running at Martinsville. We'll check on that a bit in a second. All right, let's take our winner, Noah Gragson.
By the winner of today's Contender Vote 300, Noah Gragson, driver of the number 9 Bass Pro Shops True Timber BRCC Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. We will open it up to questions for Noah. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. We'll start up front here with Holly.
Congratulations, Noah. I just wanted you to talk a little bit about what this is in terms of maybe even a relief. You've had such a dominant season, a career year. Now you definitely are in for the championship four.
Yeah, I'm not. Tonight's not about locking into the championship four. It's about all the hardship that we've had here at Homestead. The last three races, I mean, straight up kicking their ass and get a caution and don't have a very good short run car in the past and getting beat or running into the back of a lapper towards a tire with two to go. Felt like we probably should have four of them here and we only got one. So coming into the weekend, I really wanted to win this one more than any other race in my entire career. And we weren't great on the short run today either. The 21 was really good. The 16 was really good. The 18. But, you know, it's just believing in our group, Luke Lambert and the rest of the Bass Pro Shop team. They had great pit stops, great adjustments all race. Didn't really feel like I was as dominant running the fence as I have been years past. I don't know if that's the new cup car. All of us were right on the fence and practice in the cup car where you don't really see that in typical cup practice or the last couple years, no practice. So by the end of our races, that's when the top's really starting to come in and you gotta work up there where it was ready to go from lap one just with all the rubber being laid down and it being cleaned off. So with that being said, I didn't feel great up there. I felt really good up there, but not great like in the past. So, you know, we still had a pretty big lead there at the last caution. I was like, damn it, not again, you know, but made great adjustments and we were able to hold them off.
I'm going to go over here to Jerry on the left.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires, that net. Got a couple. So you're locked in, but if you get Phoenix, you win this championship. Is there more pressure on you to win the championship or to give JRM the championship as your parting gift to them?
I just want to win races. I mean, a championship is really big in this sport, but you've seen guys dominate the whole season and get to the Final Four and might run third or fourth and, you know, might struggle just a bit or get beat in one race. But for a majority part of the season, I think that – I don't want you guys to take this the wrong way. A championship is the pinnacle in, you know, just everything. But I think a dominant season is right up there with a championship in this day and age where you can make the Final Four. That's a championship in itself, in my opinion. And you get one race to really do it at a track where I wish they still had the championship race here, but they don't. We won earlier in the spring at Phoenix, but all I know is we're going to show up prepared. We're going to execute to the highest level. We've been executing as a championship team, and I just hope, you know, after the season ends that people remember this season as the 19 was the dominant team.
And you've accumulated several really cool trophies. Where does this one go in your trophy case? And you know, is it alongside the ice cream cone? Or?
Yeah, the ice cream cone is pretty bitching. I think this one, just with the story of how much hard work, the losses, the adversity, the pressure, my last race in Xfinity at Homestead, everything combined, that's what makes this moment so special. Normally these things sink in and I'm pretty fired up after the race ends, but I just know how much hard work has gone into winning here and trying to get this trophy, and it's pretty emotional right now.
There you have Noah Gregson, the winner of the Xfinity Series event at Homestead, locking in to the Final Four with one race to go. All righty, let's get it down and get it done, because time to have us some fun. It is Cup Series race time. Again, another dominating performance by somebody listed. I mean, I wish they'd take these playoff tags off of them, because even though they started in the playoffs, once they're eliminated, they should take them out. Just my opinion. But here's a guy that was involved in an incident last week with Bubba Wallace. Apparently, Wallace took umbrage to the fact that this week's winner barely grazed him, and he wound up in the wall and then come down and tried to plow him and took him out and wrecked his car more than out of the vehicles he came, and he was starting to push it in the shoving. That person he was going after, driver of the number 5, Kyle Larson. Out of the 267 laps, he wins stage 1 and 2, led 5 times for 199 laps, just missing the magical 200 by 1. Ross Chastain coming in 2nd, A.J. Allmendinger 3rd, Austin Dillon 4th, Brad Keselowski, a good run for him with his new team. In 5th, Martin Truex Jr. in 6th, Denny Hamlin in 7th, Kevin Harvick in 8th, 9th, Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch will be stepping out of the 18 this year, after this year, heading over. He's, instead of the 18, he's going to the 8 for Richard Childress. So he's driven for the 3 biggest owners in the series, well, 2 of the 3. Well, the more I think about it, it's like, well, he's driven for 2 of the 3. Then you think 2 of the 4, because even though they haven't done much of late, Roush Fenway Keselowski, RFK Racing. Jack Roush at one point in time was one of the top winning owners in the Cup Series. So that's neither here nor there. And now rounding out the top 10, Daniel Suarez. Hey, we got some data on the race. Time of race, 3 hours, 5 minutes, 24 seconds. Average speed, 129.61 miles an hour. Margin of victory, not even close, 1.26 seconds. You're looking at 12, almost 13 car lengths. With the winning of the Dixie Vodka 400, Kyle Larson gets his 19th career Cup Series victory. 19, only 19, he's already won a championship last year.
Wow.
Everybody made the field, so they only had 36 people qualifying. 5 cautions for 30 laps. 11 lead changes amongst 5 drivers. Well, when one guy leads 200 laps, you didn't think there'd be too many. There were actually 2 other double-digit drivers. William Byron led, and he was leading up front for a while, too. He started on the pole. He led 3 times for 32 laps, so he's the second most lap leader. And then Martin Truex Jr. in 6th led twice for 28 laps. And your other, to finish up the 267, it was Denny Hamlin for 4 laps and Christopher Bell for 4 laps. So, that being said, let's take a look at the standings. Being Kyle Larson win, he is not locking into the next round because he was eliminated in the last round. Why didn't he even, or last week even, not the last round. So the standings, driver points. No reseeds yet. That'll be this coming weekend. All right, Joey Logano leads the points. He did win last week. He locked in. Ross Chastain in 2nd. Chase Elliott in 3rd. William Byron 4th. Denny Hamlin 5th. Ryan Blaney 6th. 7th is Christopher Bell. 8th is Chase Briscoe. And the guy in 9th, who is the leader of the first batch of round of 12ers who got eliminated, is Kyle Larson. Boy, if he would have just made it one more week, he would have been locked in, but that's not the case. So therefore, your round of 8 are. So you have one locked in, that's Joey Logano, and then you have, now they got these playoff points now. They're showing the points behind are the, I guess the, I don't know how they got that figured out. Because you have Chase Elliott with 46 playoff points in 3rd, but he is 8 back of Ross Chastain in 2nd. It might come down to that, or they redid the points this structure, and if they do, why the hell they have playoff points? I think the only thing they did was add 1,000 points per round of elimination. So after next week, the final 4 will have 5,000 and whatever leftover points are for four drivers with a reseed. So we'll see what happens. Who's going to win at Martinsville? I would have said Jimmy Johnson back in the day, but anymore, it's a crapshoot. I think the whole season's been a crapshoot. So we'll have to see. I'm not even sure who the winner is going to be. Is it going to be a first-timer? Because right now, the only NASCAR Cup Series champion of years gone by is Joey Logano. Chastain hasn't won. Elliott hasn't won. Byron hasn't won. Hamlin hasn't won. Maybe Denny. Denny might have a shot to lock in with this weekend at Martinsville. Halloween weekend. That ought to be fun. All right. Let's go to some audio. Who do we got here? Kyle Larson and his crew chief, Cliff Daniels.
Get started with our media availabilities here at Homestead Miami Speedway for today's 60 Vodka 400. We are joined by the crew chief of the race-winning car, which was the number 5, Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet, Cliff Daniels. We will go ahead and open it up to questions. We'll start up here with Holly and then go to Jordan.
Hi, Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. I guess the big question is, what was the speech that Kyle referred to and that you gave the team that really seemed to make a difference to them?
Yeah, it was pretty colorful. If you look at the 5 cars throughout the course of this season, we've had great cars. So on performance, we have not been down. It's been execution. And it's execution from me, the guys on pit road, Kyle at times, and, you know, we've had so many fast cars that I've been getting frustrated showing up at the racetrack knowing that we're going to have another fast car and even, you know, having a sliver of doubt of our execution, because I know that our team, when we're at our full potential, we have a lot of potential. So I went through, you know, our playoffs and how many mistakes that we've made since the start of the playoffs and how many of those things have been in our hands that we have had control over and we just haven't, you know, as a team, and really it starts with me, we haven't done a great job of grasping. And, you know, my words today were focus and discipline. And it takes a lot of focus and a lot of discipline to run the fence for all the laps that he did. And it takes a lot of focus and discipline to go through 7 or 8 pit stops like we did today. And the guys had a phenomenal day on pit road. So that was really the moral of it, because, you know, he knows we've had great race cars. I know we've had great race cars. And for whatever reason, somewhere along the way, it's been a little mistake over here in this department. And then we fix that, and we come back over here and have a little mistake over here, over here, over here. And we just needed a day to get it all right, and finally did.
Before we go to Jordan, we're also joined by the driver of the number 5, Kyle Larson. Just also a note for everybody, this win today puts the number 5 in the Owners' Championship 4 at Phoenix. Go ahead, Jordan.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. A couple questions for each of you. Cliff, I guess both of you. What was this win mean after the last 2 weeks, after being eliminated at the Roval and then obviously what happened last week?
Well, it means a lot. It means a lot to the team because, like I was just alluding to, we have such a core, you know, group and a lot of strength in our group. I told them all today, the other thing, I'm sorry, Holly, I left this out. I told them if we do our job at our worst, we're going to be really good. And if we do our job at our best, we're going to be great. So that's the window of really good to great if we would just do our job. And we did today. So it means a lot to everybody at Hendrick Motorsports who've been giving us fast race cars all year long. I know it means a lot to Mr. H. I don't even think it quite sank into him yet when, you know, we were talking about it in Victory Lane that we were locked into the owner's deal in Phoenix. But, yeah, I mean, the Roval was disappointing to get knocked out of, you know, the driver championship. But to have the reflection on the team be that we're still in it, you know, we've had a very character-building year. And we've had to be tough through the adversity and learn from our mistakes. To still be in it and have a shot is pretty special.
Are you approaching next week at championship?
What's that?
Be ready for championship?
I mean, the championship race isn't at Martinsville. So I don't know. I mean, go in there and try to win another one, I guess. You know, try and have a great day, which I haven't had many of them at Martinsville, but you know, I feel like we had a good test there a couple months back, and I don't know. You know, it's a difficult place for me. I would love to just honestly not set my goals that high, but realistic, and I think a top 5 is realistic, and you know, I think our team is obviously capable of it, our car is capable of it, and I just got to put together 500 good laps and a good rhythm. That's where, you know, I struggle. It just takes me a minute to get into a rhythm, and it's just a difficult place. So glad that we were able to win today. And you know, like last year, we won the first race of this round, and then today we won this round, or this race of this round, and haven't had to quite worry about Martinsville. So yeah, thankful for that, and too, with the bad points day that we had last week as well, you know, I felt, not that we were in a must-win to make it to the owner's title part of it, but we need to have a great day, and we were able to win both stages and didn't want to screw that up at the end of this race either, but I knew winning was going to be the most important thing to not have to worry about next week.
I'm sorry, I meant Phoenix. When you go to Phoenix, you're going to be thinking championship. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. Duh. I mean.
Yeah, we're in.
Yeah, I mean, I view myself as, yes, if I say we were to win Phoenix, like my name isn't going to be on the championship. But, you know, having our team be the champion, I think, is honestly better than, you know, like I would hate to be in Ryan Blaney's position. I think he's the one that's only in on driver, not owner. I would hate to be in his position and say he wins the championship and he is credited with the championship and not his team. So if I was to have it one way or the other, I would rather be out on my end and be able to celebrate the team championship. So I'm happy that we get to go compete for that again. And honestly, that's what, you know, that's the paycheck too. So we're going to go for that. And you know, we're fired up about it.
There you have Kyle Larson and crew chief Cliff Daniels, who I know his sister. She's been on the show when she was racing back in the K&N East. And when she actually went up to drag racing, she was up at not far from me in Atco Dragway. And we touched base from time to time because she was at Richmond when I was down there. All right, who do we got this weekend? Xfinity Series and Cup Series. Saturday, October 9th, 3 p.m. Eastern on regular NBC. So we have the battle at no golf. Cool. Or football. No college football on Saturday on NBC. Wow. Usually that's all that dominates the major networks. But Xfinity, NBC is throwing NASCAR a bone. Well, one, Xfinity, which is Comcast, sponsors the, of course, the Xfinity Series. We have the Dead On Tools 250. I'm going to apply for credentials for one of these days. And let's see, we tape our They Still Live podcast on Sundays. I have to let Jeff know one of these days. I'm taking a day off to go work for this show. That's okay. Jeff, who played, of course, Dale Earnhardt in NASCAR, the History of Speed on Country Music TV. And Sunday at 2 p.m., Mischief Day night. Mischief Night Day. The Xfinity 500. Where? On NBC. Regular NBC. They don't have NBC Sportsnet no more, I guess. They ditched that and just went to USA Network. It just tells you how many channels Comcast, which is started out as a cable company, owns. Just think, they actually had a satellite division, too, called PrimeStar back in the day. And then they closed that all down and stayed with the cable. Hey, ain't my call. Anyway, that's our show for today. We'll see you all maybe next week. I'm your host, Vinny B. Good day and good racing. Bye now.